We made it back to record another episode.
Hi. Hello. Yes. Routine time. I will keep saying that.
Yeah. And considering the week we just had, that we can get back into a routine is quite amazing.
Oh, my God. What a week.
Being busy.
Our eldest graduated. He had his formal. It's been a week.
It's been a week, and we're managing to record at the end of it, which is exactly what we hope to do more regularly going forward.
Yep, yep, yep. We're going to start doing things more regular come January.
So how about we play the theme and do
let's play the theme. Let's do it. Woo!
Yay!
What the?
History.
History.
Hello and welcome to What the History, your podcast with bits of bizarre history to make you say, what the history? I am Trevor Holland.
And I'm Susie Holland.
Ooh, and
hey,
what awesome bit of bizarre history do you have for us?
Okay. Now, here we go. I'll set the scene. Oh, no, not really. I'm not going to set the scene. I'm just going to go straight into it. Now, before COVID-19 came to mess up most things we hold dear, there is the Nottingham Goose Fair, which sadly was cancelled this year for obvious reasons. It usually takes place the first weekend of every October and has done so for over 700 years. The fair even has its own mascot, 2 metre tall, Goosey.
Ooh, should have a gander at that.
Oh, funny. Don't mess up with Goosey, come on. Who sits proudly every year on a nearby roundabout to celebrate the event. Once upon a time, the fair attracted goose farmers who walked with their flock of geese from Norfolk, Lincoln and Cambridge, and that's up to 105 miles away, for them to be sold at the fair in time for the end of the harvest celebration of Michaelmas. Now the fair is a travelling show with attractions, rides and entertainment. The annual Nottingham Goose Fair, held on the 2nd of October 1766, went down in history, not for the geese, but for its cheese. Nottingham in 1766 was in the beginning stages of the Industrial Revolution, which provided extra trade, bringing a population expansion growing from 10,000 in 1739 to 15,000 by 1769. With 1763 to 1768 having a boom in the building trade, this being back-to-back slum dwellings to make way for the growing population. Living and working conditions for the working class was horrible, giving pace to a growing dissatisfaction and revolutionary beliefs among the inhabitants. All that needed was a cause, and in 1766, that cause came calling. October 2nd was a fine day to have the Goose Fair in the Old Market Square, and not only were the geese for sale, but livestock such as horses and produce from farmers, including Nottingham's famous cheese. Food costs had risen higher due to the influx of people to the town and a poor European harvest, with cheese now being double the price, between 24 to 36 shillings per hundredweight, approximately 50.8 kilo, to buy at the fair. To put this in perspective, in 1766, 24 shillings was the wages of a skilled tradesman for 10 days, 36 shillings was the wages for 17 days, and the cheese was out of most people's reach. The day progressed without too much fuss, with rightful grumblings from the attendees about the price of cheese. The evening brought the news that several traders from the nearby county of Lincolnshire had bought several hundred pounds of cheese, up to 6,000 by a report, to take back to their county for resale. A group of men threatened the traders to serve Nottingham first, and when this was not forthcoming, the riot began. Wheels of cheese were being gathered by women and boys and rolled down the streets, with some cheese being picked up and carried away. The mayor attempted to restore order, however, was knocked down by a flying cheese, and roadblocks were set up in order to stop the traders from taking the cheese away. Cheeses were hurled at stall holders, with the crowds overturning the now cheeseless stalls in their fury. A cargo boat of cheese was seized and looted at the River Trent, despite its owner offering to sell the wares at a low cost or pay the crowd. A number of people left the fair to search the warehouses for cheese along the river, finding it and making their escape, being chased away with firearms. The cheese was taken to Castle Donnington, with the local magistrates refusing to sign search warrants for the village houses suspected of harbouring the cheese stealers. The warehouse owner formed a posse searching houses themselves and taking the suspected cheese stealers into custody. The now arrested people were brought before the justices in a Peck Lane coffee house, making the crowd angrier, and were determined to set the prisoners free. When this didn't happen, the crowd smashed the windows, ripped up the footpath, and threatened further destruction if the prisoners weren't set free. Fearing further dissension, the justices set them free, which satisfied the rowdy crowd. A messenger was dispatched to Derby to request military support in case it went pear-shaped again, with the units arriving the next morning. The next day was comparatively more peaceful than the night before, until a second riot broke out, which from all reports was more dangerous than the first one, with the newly arrived military fighting with the crowd. There was one fatality, a farmer by the name of William Eggleston, who was shot in the leg while kneeling over a heap of cheese, guarding it, with the wound becoming infected and passing away a week later. The crowd eventually left the area. The Great Cheese Riot, as it became known, finished when the military marched from Nottingham to nearby Derby to quell a crowd who wanted to destroy a warehouse and another crowd who attempted to burn a windmill near Trent Bridge. The arrival of the military was enough for the riot to end, and by this time dissent had also spread to Devon, Cornwall, Gloucester, Bristol, Norwich, and Birmingham. The Nottingham Goose Fair hasn't lost its name, and as well as being the name of the goose, the fair is also affectionately called Goosey. It has also moved from the old market square, which was the now city centre, to the Forest Recreation Ground. Goosey, welcome to What the History.
Wow. They got cheesy.
They did get cheesy, and quite rightly so. Mm. Their cheese is very important to them. Like, cheese is very important to me too. And I'd be very, very upset if suddenly my favourite camembert was now, $20 or what, for a little bit of it. No.
I would be badgering the market holders for that.
Oh, nice segue. Oh, give me a round of applause, people. Woo!
Wasn't that hard this time around, obviously.
This time of night.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, long-term listeners, and we thank all our long-term listeners,
we
will be familiar with our strange obsession with badgers and history.
Badgers!
In fact, we even have an episode called Disco Inferno and Badgering History, which I highly recommend you check out. It's a corker. Now, the link between that classic episode and this one is a bit on the tenuous side. I am not discussing the furry and often cantankerous animals that have had a strange link with historical discoveries. Nope. This one is about a person that named Badger. Charlotte Badger, to be precise.
Mm.
Now, I do have to put a bit of disclaimer on this one. There's not a lot of information about Charlotte Badger, and her story has somewhat varied over the years. So this retelling is based on what is primarily believed and comes with a very, very healthy dose of, in quotes, allegedly. Okay. It is believed Charlotte was born close to Bromsgrove, England, in 1778. The story I am telling really starts 18 years later when Charlotte stole a silk handkerchief and a few guineas. It wasn't long before Charlotte was arrested, tried, and in 1801 she was sentenced to 7 years transportation. She was placed on board the vessel the Earl of Cornwallis and spent the next 206 days journeying to the colony of New South Wales, Australia.
206 days.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Fast forward 5 years, and we find Charlotte as an inmate at the Parramatta Female Factory and giving birth. The father of the child is not known. In April of 1806, Charlotte and her friend and fellow inmate, Catherine Haggerty, were tasked with being servants to a settler in Hobart. They promptly were shipped off and left Port Jackson aboard the Venus, along with Charlotte's child and a number of male convicts. Reportedly, the captain of the ship, Samuel Chase, was not a nice man and was said to take pleasure in beating female prisoners.
Jerk.
Yeah. So on the 17th of June, while the ship was docked at Port Dalrymple on the north coast of Tasmania, a number of convicts, with the help of the first mate of the ship, Benjamin Kelly, mutinied and took control of the Venus. The most popular tale of Charlotte's role in the rebellion was that she dressed in male clothing, armed herself with a pistol, and flogged the captain before leading a raid on another ship to get more supplies and weapons.
Go, Charlotte.
Another tale has Charlotte and Catherine inciting the male convicts to rebel. Either way, it was this raid that gave Charlotte the honour of being considered Australia's first and only female pirate. Captain Chase's official report declared First Mate Kelly as the leader of the mutiny, but also noted that the women were, and I quote, enthusiastic participants.
Good.
End quote. He also stated Charlotte Badger was, quote, cohabitating, end quote, with another convict named John Lancashire, while Catherine Haggerty was with Benjamin Kelly. The new masters of the well-stocked and armed vessel decided Tasmania wasn't for them anymore and set sail across the Tasman Sea. Charlotte, her baby, Catherine, and the two men disembarked the ship with ample supplies when they reached Rangahawa Bay, New Zealand. They set up in huts on the shore and the Venus continued down the New Zealand coast. Sadly, Catherine died in 1807, and the two men apparently left soon afterwards. The story of Charlotte gets very sketchy at this point, but for her and her child to have survived, it is believed the local Maori assisted her. The next part of the story is largely speculative. It is believed the Maori's opinions towards Charlotte may have soured when word reached them of the behaviour of the rest of the Venus's crew. This crew kidnapped a number of Maori women as they travelled down the coast.
Ah, suck bastards.
Charlotte's story picks up again in 1826 when the captain of a ship told the tale of an English woman matching Charlotte's description and her daughter, who were in Tonga when he visited the island 10 years previously. According to his report, the women and the girl travelled to Tonga after escaping from the Maori. For many years, it was believed Charlotte eventually made her way to America. However, doubt was cast over this story in 2018 when historian Jennifer Ashton found records of a Charlotte Badger living in New South Wales from 1811 until the mid-1820s. Ashton does note that the 1806 census records do not contain any evidence of Charlotte, meaning it's still very likely she was on board the Venus when the mutiny occurred and did sail to New Zealand. While Charlotte Badger's ultimate fate may remain a source of mystery and speculation, it is still safe to say that her tale of piracy and her place as the first European woman to settle in New Zealand ensures she has a special place in What the History.
Hey, way to go, Charlotte. Way to go. I like this girl.
Absolutely amazing story, and it would be great if something can, like, concrete turned up.
But oh, that would be great.
Still.
That would be really awesome.
Who doesn't like a rollicking tale of a
female pirate
lady kicking ass and beating up the captain that beat up her?
Yeah, I'd be beating him up too. He's a freaking jerk. He does.
Sounds like it.
Absolute arsehole.
So I hope you've enjoyed these two bizarre bits of history.
Yeah. Cheese.
Cheese.
Cheese started a riot.
Yep.
With Goosey. I want to go and check out Goosey.
Actually, riots are kind of like another thing that we feature every now and then.
We've got riots and badges and all sorts of things.
In fact, the one I mentioned before, Disco Demolition, was a riot.
It was a riot. And, oh, God, that was that was just like, oh, my God. It made us say several times, oh, my God, what the?
So this is like the sequel. It's a riot badger episode.
A riot. Oh, I like how you did that. That was very good. Yeah, so we're going to go check out Goosey.
We
also want to go to Sweden and check out the Arvla goat.
Oh, we'd love to see that. Oh, keep an eye on the What History Facebook page. Yep. And we will be keeping an eye on the Arvla goat.
Yep. We also do Whamageddon as well.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Whamageddon, the Arvla goat in Sweden, and they do a goat every year, and we do a countdown.
Check out our What the Christmas episode from a while back. If you want to find that or find out more about what we've talked about tonight, we've got references in the podcast description down below.
Yes, we do.
Or if you head to the Rufus Project Presents homepage, rufusproject.com, you'll find all our episodes with all the references. You can also head to patreon.com/rufusproject, where you will also find all the podcasts and all the references. But if you sign up there, you'll also get early access to our podcasts, the new ones that come out, both ours, the redeeming features, there's a pile of extra bonus content. You get to join in as we record these live.
Which are always fun.
Absolutely. You think the edited ones are fun?
Crap I come out with.
And recent changes means that the bottom tier will get you access to everything. So once you've signed up, and if you're supporting us, we love you so much that we want to give you all the things.
Absolutely. We love giving you all the things. And
for any Patreons watching this right now, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. We do love you.
Mwah. We do indeed.
Thank you.
So.
All right. That's another What the History Done. Yay. And like I said, we will be doing a more routine one. And hopefully this time next month. What date are we at? 21st. We're going to be in
over Christmas.
We're going to be in Tassie.
Not much episode for Christmas, let's face it. Anyway, even if we were doing this regularly, we would normally take a break over that period. So we will return as soon as possible. Also, keep an eye on our Facebook page
for the Ablego
on Facebook for our updates as to when new things are coming out. And we'll be back as soon as we can with two more bizarre facts. From history to make you say,
What the history? Night, everyone. Bye. Stay safe.
Cheese.